All right, so let's kick off the new year with a deep dive into something I think we all think about a lot.
For sure.
Our finances.
Yeah, always top of mind.
You sent over some really interesting material about managing money and credit in 2025.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see what we can unpack here together.
Yeah, me too. It's good to be proactive.
Yeah.
Especially with finances.
Right.
Even small changes can have like a ripple effect.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's dive in and see what we can find that works for you.
All right. Well, one of the things that always fascinates me is like the psychology behind our money habits.
Uh-huh.
And one of these sources dives into a debt payoff strategy, suggesting tackling a $2,400 balance with $200 monthly payments.
Okay.
Which on the surface sounds pretty standard.
Yeah.
But what caught my eye was the emphasis on breaking it down further.
Okay. Yeah. That's where it gets interesting.
Yeah.
They point out that it's just $6.58 a day.
Right.
Which is such a powerful reframing technique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing how our brains work.
Totally.
Suddenly it feels way more manageable than thinking about that big lump sum.
Yeah.
Like I can do $6.
Totally. And there's a lot of research in behavioral economics.
Yeah.
About this. The power of small wins.
Right.
By consistently hitting those mini goals, you build momentum and stay motivated.
Right.
It's not just about the math. It's about the psychology of feeling successful along the way.
Yeah. It makes total sense.
Yeah.
Speaking of feeling successful, one thing that always makes me feel like I'm adulting properly is checking my credit report.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This source, of course, mentions the free annual reports that you can snag from annualcreditreport.com.
Always got to plug that.
Yeah.
It's important.
But then it jumps into something I hadn't heard of before.
Okay.
The Experian Boost program.
Oh, interesting.
Have you looked into this at all?
I have a little bit. Yeah. It's relatively new.
Okay.
And it definitely has some pros and cons. Oh. The basic idea is that it allows Experian to factor in your on-time bill payments for things that aren't traditionally included in credit scores.
Okay.
So think like utilities.
Okay.
Rent. Mm-hmm. Streaming services.
Wait, so my Netflix subscription could actually help my credit score?
Yeah.
That's wild.
In theory, yes.
Okay.
So Experian claims that it can potentially boost your FICO score by an average of 13 points.
Wow.
They use an algorithm to analyze your bank statements.
Okay.
And identify those recurring payments and then incorporate that data into their credit evaluation.
Okay, that makes sense. But are there any downsides?
Yeah.
I'm always a little wary of sharing that much financial data.
Yeah, that's a valid concern.
Yeah.
Some people have privacy concerns about giving Experian access to their bank accounts.
Right.
And it's important to note that while Experian Boost might help some people, it's not like a magic bullet.
Right.
It really depends on your individual credit history and the scoring model being used.
So it's worth considering, but with a critical eye.
Exactly.
On the topic of credit scores.
Okay.
This source also touches on something that's great news for a lot of folks.
Okay.
Healthcare debt is no longer factored in.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's a huge win for a lot of people.
It is.
Medical debt can be incredibly burdensome.
Yeah.
And this change recognizes that it doesn't necessarily reflect someone's overall financial responsibility.
Yeah. It definitely feels like a step in the right direction.
I agree.
Now, shifting gears a bit.
Okay.
This source dives into some strategies for managing existing debt.
Okay.
Specifically recommending 0% balance transfer cards.
Oh, yeah.
It even mentions a couple of specific cards.
Okay.
The City of Simplicity card and the Wells Fargo Reflect Visa credit card.
Got it.
Both offer 0% interest for a pretty impressive amount of time.
Wow.
Up to 21 months.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So almost 2 years without interest charges.
Right.
Sounds amazing. But there's always a catch, right?
There are a few things to keep in mind.
Okay.
First, balance transfers typically come with a fee.
Okay.
Usually a percentage of the amount that you're transferring.
Right.
And second, and this is crucial, you need a solid plan to pay off that balance before that 0% period ends.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll get hit with those regular interest rates, which can be pretty steep.
So it's more like a sprint than a marathon, huh?
Yeah. You've got a limited window
to
capitalize on that 0% interest.
Yeah. You got to be strategic about it.
You do. And this ties into something else that the source emphasizes.
Okay.
Being mindful of annual fees on credit cards.
Oh, those pesky fees.
Right.
I always try to avoid them whenever possible.
Yeah, that's a smart move.
Yeah.
Those annual fees can eat into any rewards or benefits that you're earning.
Exactly.
The source recommends calling your credit card company.
Okay.
and asking to switch to a no-fee card
Okay.
rather than just closing the account.
It seems counterintuitive, right? I always thought closing unused accounts would help my credit score.
That's the common misconception.
Yeah.
Actually, closing accounts can potentially hurt your score.
Oh, really?
Especially if it's an older account with a long history.
Oh, okay.
It can shorten your overall credit history
Uh-huh.
and impact your credit utilization ratio,
Okay.
both of which factor into your credit score.
Gotcha.
So it's always worth exploring your options with the issuer before closing an account.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I'm definitely gonna keep that in mind.
Good.
Now, even with a 0% balance transfer or a no-fee card,
Right.
the source warns against falling into the trap of increased spending.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope.
Right.
It's easy to feel like you have more financial breathing room when you're not paying interest.
Yeah.
But it's essential to maintain responsible spending habits,
Right.
regardless of the interest rate.
It's like thinking, oh, I'm saving money on interest,
Right.
so I can afford to treat myself. But that kind of defeats the purpose, right?
Exactly. It's about breaking the cycle of debt
Uh-huh.
and building a solid financial foundation,
Right.
not just shifting things around.
Yeah, I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's like swapping one dessert for another.
Totally.
It doesn't solve the problem if you're still overindulging.
You need to change your overall approach to money management,
Right.
not just focus on one specific aspect.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
We have for sure.
We've explored some really interesting strategies for managing debt,
Huh?
boosting credit scores,
Yep.
and navigating the world of credit cards.
Yeah, definitely just scratch the surface.
But this is just the beginning.
Oh yeah, we've got lots more to
Wow,
uncover.
so much more to uncover in the next part.
Absolutely, stay tuned.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We just finished talking about the allure of 0% interest offers
Right.
and how it's still so important to be mindful of our spending habits. I know that's something I constantly struggle with,
For sure.
especially like those tempting impulse
Oh
buys. It's
yeah.
like, ah, that's cute. I need that in my life. This source actually addresses that directly, suggesting a cooling off period for non-essential
Oh,
purchases.
that's interesting. Tell me more about this cooling off period.
Okay, yeah, so it's a pretty simple but powerful strategy.
Okay.
Before buying something that you don't absolutely need, give yourself a set amount of time to think it over,
Yeah.
maybe 24 hours, maybe even a week.
So like hit the pause button on that impulse
Right.
and give yourself time to really consider if you actually want or need that item.
Exactly. And often that initial urge to buy kind of fades away, and you end up saving yourself from an unnecessary expense.
Right. Or maybe you even do more research. You can
Right.
compare prices,
Right.
maybe find a better deal.
That's such a practical tip. It's
Yeah.
like a built-in safety net for our spending habits.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
definitely going to try that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, another thing I struggle with is differentiating between needs and wants.
Oh, for sure.
It's easy to blur those lines sometimes.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, maybe I need those shoes.
Right.
The source highlights this as well.
Okay, good.
They suggest creating two separate lists,
Okay.
one for essential needs, like housing, food,
All right,
transportation,
the non-negotiables.
right? And another list for things that would be nice to have,
Right.
but aren't strictly necessary.
The fun stuff.
Right, exactly, the fun stuff.
Yeah.
It's a classic budgeting technique, but it makes so much
That
sense
does.
by visually separating those categories.
Yeah.
You can actually see where your money is going and
Yeah.
make more conscious decisions.
It helps you prioritize your
Right.
spending
Yeah.
and allocate your resources to what truly matters most.
And this leads into another key point the source emphasizes:
Okay.
setting financial goals.
Oh, yeah. Goals are
I know
huge.
goals are important,
Yeah.
but sometimes they feel so overwhelming, especially when it comes to finances.
Totally. It's like, where do I even begin?
Yeah,
The
exactly.
source really emphasizes
Yeah.
the importance of making your goals specific,
Okay.
measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Oh, I love a good acronym.
I know, right?
Yeah.
SMART goals.
So instead of vaguely saying, I want to save more money,
Right.
a SMART goal would be like,
Yeah.
I want to save $5,000 for a down payment on a car by the end of next year.
There you go.
There you go.
Got it.
Having a clear and well-defined goal like that
Yeah.
provides a target to aim for
Right.
and helps you stay motivated.
Yeah, it feels less overwhelming too
Right.
when you break down these larger goals into smaller, more manageable steps.
That's so true. It's
Yeah.
like that saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Love that one.
Each small step, each responsible spending choice
Right.
brings you closer to achieving those financial goals.
Absolutely.
You know, while we're on the topic of mindset,
okay,
something else in the source really struck me.
What's that?
They talk about the importance of cultivating an abundant mindset.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than one of scarcity.
That's a powerful concept.
It is.
It's about appreciating what you have and believing in your ability to create wealth and abundance in your life.
It's like flipping the script on our internal financial dialogue. Instead of saying, I can't afford that, we say, how can I create the resources to achieve that?
I love that.
Right.
It's about shifting your perspective from a place of limitation to a place of possibility.
Right.
And when you approach your finances from that abundant mindset,
uh-huh,
you're more likely to make those conscious, responsible decisions that align with your goals.
It's like attracting abundance by focusing on gratitude for what we already have.
It's all interconnected.
It is.
For sure.
Okay, so far we've covered some pretty practical tips.
We have.
Like the cooling off period.
Yeah.
The needs versus wants list.
Uh-huh.
Along with the importance of setting SMART goals.
Right.
And cultivating an abundant mindset.
Super important.
It's starting to feel like a roadmap to financial well-being.
It's all about taking those small, consistent steps.
Right.
Making informed choices.
Uh-huh.
And adopting a positive mindset.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Well said. I love that.
Let's take a quick break here.
Okay. Is this good?
We'll be right back for the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll explore the world of investing.
Can't wait.
Stay with us.
We're back for the final part of our deep dive. And, you know, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
From managing debt and boosting credit scores
yeah.
to creating those responsible spending habits.
Right.
And cultivating that abundant mindset.
Yeah, setting the stage.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm really curious to delve into, I think, the final piece of the puzzle here.
Okay, let's do it.
Investing.
Yeah.
It's always felt a little intimidating to me.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, like something that only financial experts should be doing.
Right. It can seem very complicated.
Yeah.
But the truth is, investing is a crucial part of building long-term wealth.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be complicated.
Okay. So what are some of the key things that we should know about getting started?
Well, this source really emphasizes the power of starting early.
Okay.
And investing consistently.
Okay.
Even if it's with small amounts.
So it's not about having like a huge chunk of money
right.
to invest right away?
Not at all.
Okay.
It's more about developing that habit of regular investing.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're starting with $50 or $100 a month.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
It makes investing feel much more accessible.
It should be accessible.
Yeah.
For everyone.
So where should we be putting that money?
Right.
There are so many options out there.
Yeah, this source suggests looking into low-cost index funds.
Index funds.
Have you heard of those?
I've heard of them, but don't really know what they are.
Yeah, so they're basically a type of mutual fund.
Okay.
That tracks a specific market index.
Okay.
Like the S&P 500.
Okay, so for those of us who are new to investing,
yeah,
what makes them a good choice?
Well, they're generally considered a low-risk diversified investment.
Okay.
So instead of trying to pick individual stocks,
yeah,
which can be really time-consuming and unpredictable.
Right.
Index funds let you invest in a basket of stocks.
Okay.
That represent a particular market segment.
So it's like spreading your investment
exactly.
across a wider range of companies.
Exactly. Diversification
okay.
is key to managing risk in investing.
Right.
And because index funds are passively managed, meaning they just track an existing index,
uh-huh.
they tend to have lower fees
okay.
than actively managed funds.
Okay. You mentioned fees earlier.
Yeah.
How do those work with index funds?
So index funds have what are called expense ratios.
Okay.
And that's basically the percentage of your investment
uh-huh.
that goes towards managing the fund.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, index funds tend to have much lower expense ratios.
Okay.
Compared to actively managed funds.
Got it.
So more of your money is actually working for you.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Lower fees, more potential growth.
Exactly.
Okay. So index funds sound like a great place to start.
They are a good starting point.
Anything else we should keep in mind when it comes to investing?
Yeah. This source highlights one more really important concept.
Okay.
Compound interest.
I've heard that term before.
Yeah.
But never fully understood it.
Right. So it's often called the eighth wonder of the world.
Okay.
Simply put, it's interest earned on interest.
Okay.
So as your investments grow,
uh-huh.
you earn interest not only on your initial investment,
right.
but also on the accumulated interest.
Okay.
And this effect compounds over time.
So it's like a snowball effect.
Exactly.
The longer you invest, the more your money grows exponentially.
Precisely. That's why starting early and investing consistently is so powerful.
Right.
Even if it's with small amounts.
Okay.
Over time, the magic of compound interest can really accelerate your wealth building.
Wow, compound interest really is a game changer.
It is.
It's almost like having a secret weapon.
It's a superpower.
In our financial toolkit.
It is.
Now that's my kind of strategy.
Oh, I know, right?
Passive wealth building.
Who wouldn't want that?
Right.
It's all about making those smart choices.
Uh-huh.
Being consistent.
Right.
And letting time work its magic.
I love it. Well, this entire deep dive has been so eye-opening.
It has.
We've explored debt management, credit scores, responsible spending, the power of an abundant mindset.
Right.
And now the world of investing.
Yeah, we covered it all.
I feel so much more equipped to take control of my financial future.
That's what we like to hear.
Before we wrap up, what's one small step that our listeners can take today?
Oh, that's a good one.
To move closer to their financial goals.
It could be anything from setting up a budget to researching those low-cost index funds we talked about to just taking some time to reflect on their financial goals and creating a plan to achieve them.
Right.
The key is to take that first step, however small it may seem.
Action is key.
Yeah.
And remember, you don't have to do it alone. There are so many resources available.
Yeah, for sure.
To help you on your financial journey.
Absolutely.
Be sure to check out the links we've provided in the show notes.
Yes.
For additional information and support.
Good stuff in there.
This brings us to the end of our deep dive on 2025 Financial Reset.
Sad to see it go.
Thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you found it as insightful and inspiring as we have.
We had a blast.
Until next time. Remember to invest in yourself, your knowledge, and your financial well-being.
The best investment you can make.
You've got this.
We believe in you.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive.
See ya!